Hey, it's George from Beat Up Unlimited Charity Fundraising, your fundraising one-stop shop. I am excited because my brother from another mother is sitting with me in one film. First, let me introduce my good friend and brand new Pat. I got to do it. Yay! I just heard. I heard it from myself. The new executive director of the PBA of Georgia, Pat. Congratulations, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
How's it feel?
Feels good. It feels good. I, have been able to work under the executive director who's been there for about 25 years. And
Joe Stiles, right?
Not Joe Stiles. And best man I ever worked for in law enforcement. And one of the most respected lawmen in the state. And I was able to work side by side under him and learn from the best for the past 9 years. So, you know, I'm ready. He's taught me well, and he was preparing, you know, for one day when he would retire. And I'm honored that he would, you know, trust me in that.
So some really big shoes to fill?
Big shoes to fill. Yeah, I really got to step up to the plate to fill his shoes.
I'm confident you can do it. Okay, before I say another thing, I have to do this. Okay, first off, this podcast, number two, is brought to you by none other than the Georgia Hat Company. I had to say it, Pat. Okay, so let me explain to you. So you all see me where I've got the hat that only a mother could love. You got to cover this bad boy up. And Pat is the executive director. He's not allowed to be the boss. Mama's the boss of the Georgia Hat Company. This hat, he made this for me this past weekend when I was caught in the Snowmageddon, right? And Pat, he makes the best hats. Tell us about the Georgia Hat Company, because I'm really proud of you.
So my full-time job is executive director of the PBA of Georgia, but my part-time job is assisting my wife with Georgia Hat Company, and which she is the CEO, the COO, the CFO, the CMO,
HMFIC.
I sweep the floors and lock the doors at night.
You betcha.
So let's make that clear.
Right. I got one. She's sitting right over there.
Yes.
I'm wondering where in the world I am.
But yeah, so we started a side business, which started out as a hobby, designing hats and making hats in 2022. And what started as a side business and what started as a hobby turned into a side business and now has become pretty much a full-time business for Sandra.
And listen, I love this hat. He made this hat for me right when I was sitting there, Rule 62. You want to explain what Rule 62, it means a lot to me. You know that. As soon as you told me what Rule 62, what is Rule 62?
So Rule 62 comes from the recovery world, and I've been sober 21 years. And early on in my, early on in my endeavors to get sober, I was told by some other men that had long term sobriety. They said Rule 62 is don't take yourself too damn seriously.
Pat, listen, I've taken my you bust me on this all the time. I take myself way too serious, and when you told me about this rule, it hit home, and that's why I wanted the hat.
Yeah, and you know, I did. I really need to be reminded of this 21 years ago when I was getting sober on a daily, sometimes hourly time frame. But even 21 years sober, I have to remind myself not to take myself too seriously. And so Rule 62 is how Georgia Hat Company started. I was looking for a hat for me and other friends in recovery. And so I was driving down Interstate 20, and you can see that the hat that you're wearing, the patch, looks like the interstate sign. Yep. And I've just always thought that the interstate sign was clean, you know, very simple and clean. It's red, white, and blue. And, you know, being a career law enforcement officer, it kind of looks like a shield, too.
Yep.
And so I said, oh, well, I'll put Rule 62 on an interstate sign. have it made into a patch, and the rest is history. It's really done well in the recovery world, and then we've branched on to doing other hats under our business name, Georgia Hat Company.
I love the one you're wearing. I saw you make the first one.
Yes, you did. You absolutely did.
Yep, I saw when the patch came in.
And that is, this is the first one. So it's actually not even mine. This is actually JoJo Bracken's. And I put it on so he would see me and hopefully watch this podcast and see me wearing his hat, because it's taken him so long to get here to pick it up. But I promised him the very first one. So it's going to have a few sweat stains right above here.
Some chili with bacon in it. That's an inside joke. The Pat and Sandra make, without a doubt, some of the nicest hats I have.
Thank you.
I must have right now. I'm sitting on probably about 15 of them. You make all my BW Unlimited hats, right?
Yep.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. You don't, Pat.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
Sandra does. She's made me so far probably about 10 of those. Some trucker hats that the girls are all wearing, probably 12 mm-hmm. of those, the trucker hats. These, I've got your goat rope hat. I've got a bunch of the Copenhagen hat that is the, you know, that logo. You make a lot of hats. I like that. In fact, if all my friends who in Maryland who are all duck and goose hunters, you're going to love that really historical looking hat that he's wearing. What are your capabilities? You can make specialty hats. You can do everything. In fact, you're making something for a business that's right nearby here in Havre de Grace.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, those will be shipping out on Monday, going to Harbor of Grace. It's the country's leading first responder treatment facility for substance abuse or mental health issues. And I'm telling you, not only being somebody that has had to go to treatment myself for both substance abuse and mental health issues, I have visited many, many places across the country in my 21 years of sobriety. And right down the street from you is truly the best place in the country.
Yep. And I was able to meet them through you. I didn't even know they were there.
Yeah.
So I want to, you already know how proud I am of you for your new role as executive director of the PBA.
Thank you.
Of the Georgia PBA, and how proud I am of you for the Georgia Hat Company. But you and I got very close. We're going to branch off to what this is about, right? This whole, the playbook. Because guess what, everybody? He's the guy who gave me the idea to call this the playbook after I got threatened to be sued, right? I called him. I was like, Pat, what do I call this thing? And he said, well, you and your wife always talking about your playbook. Why don't you just call it the playbook? I was like, all right, that's what we're going to call it. So Pat's the guy. So let's talk about, okay, Pat and I started to know each other because Pat hired me to do an event for him a few years ago called the Brothers in Blue Bash Augusta. Incredible. Met all his friends, became their my friends. Pat and I grew very close, very, very, very close over the years. We've known each other now 6 years. So he avoids me like the plague when I have the vent, and hollers at me when I vented to him about the same thing 150 times. Just want to let you know, right, Pat?
That's right.
Right.
Heard it 37 times, George.
You don't need to hear it again. But here's what I want to know. Okay. First off, tell them about the PBA. What does the PBA do before we go into that? Because that's why we did the event first time.
Yeah. So the PBA is actually our law enforcement association in Georgia. And we're falling under the umbrella of the Southern States PBA, which of course is throughout the Southern States. But
what's that encompass?
So that's everything from Texas, starting Louisiana. So it's not including Texas. And I always tell Texas, they say that they're in the South, but if you can't find sweet tea in every county that you roll into, it's not the South.
Or pecans.
And if you can't find grits at every breakfast restaurant, you're not the South. So starting at Louisiana all the way over to Georgia, moving up South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky, everything around you, everything around that D.C. area.
Virginia, right?
Yeah, Virginia. We've got a strong presence in Virginia. So I'm assigned to Georgia, though, specifically to Georgia. And the law enforcement aspect of it, a part of the association, what our primary purpose is, lobbying to better things in law enforcement. That's what the PBA started doing. And, you know, for years, I know when you came up in law enforcement, when I came up in law enforcement, the old timers would say, stay out of politics. You have this, you know, you have no business being in politics, blah, 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 blah. Well, they had it wrong, because elected officials make up everything about our profession, our pay, our benefits, our equipment. So if you don't have a relationship with these elected officials, you're missing the boat. And the PBA and the founders of the PBA, you know, they recognized this years ago, and they started building these relationships with these elected officials and started getting things done. You know, it's one thing if I'm talking to you as an elected official and you've never met me and I'm really asking you to help with some stuff, but if I have a relationship with you and you've sat in my patrol car and you've rode with me and you've seen what we go through, it's now personal at that point. They get to see it. And those are the type of relationships that have been built all around, starting at the local levels. Like when I was a Richmond County deputy, I had a ride-along program with the county commissioners. And the county commissioners, I would seek out, and I would specifically invite them to come ride with me on a weekend night. And I would ride them in their district to see what was going on after dark. When everybody else is in bed, what's going on in your district? And they were just blown away. They were amazed. And so building those relationships is very important. But the other side of it is we provide legal defense to officers for things like officer-involved shootings, death in custody, lawsuits, you know, all the different things.
Corrections too, right?
Yes, absolutely. Because a lot of people think, you know, corrections is often forgotten in law enforcement, and such an important part of law enforcement, these men and women that work in corrections. That's a tough job, man. I don't know if I could work in a prison.
I couldn't do it.
You know, the good part about it is, as a street cop, we get to deal with the good and the bad. We get to see the people that appreciate us on a daily basis, which are much more than the people that don't appreciate us. Well, in a corrections facility, you're just dealing with bad all the time.
Right.
And people that don't appreciate law enforcement, because that's why they're there.
Right.
So, yeah, I hats off to them.
Yeah, I happened to hear Pat on the phone helping a correctional guard over the weekend a few days ago when I was in Atlanta. So I was really taken aback by that, the amount of support that you give to everybody. So, well, thank you for all that you've done as a deputy and what you do with the PBA. So
thank you.
So now let's talk about fundraising. Cause if there's anybody who can tell the truth behind the curtain, like the Great Oz, it's you. And I know that I could depend on you, right? So in all the time before we got to know each other, you've done a lot of fundraising, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes back to the early 90s. We were doing a golf tournament for our sheriff who died in 1994. And we were doing it, a memorial golf tournament. And we were raising money for the one of the cancer foundations. He had died of cancer. And we were raising money for that and his memory. And that was the first one that I really decided that I would spearhead. And I loved it. I absolutely loved every bit of it. And, you know, golf tournaments are the first thing you think of normally with fundraising. I mean, when I talk to people and I say, hey, what are you going to do for a fundraiser? Usually that's the first thing they say. Oh, we're going to hold a golf tournament. But everybody does that, it seems like, or used to.
Yep. No, you did a concert, right?
Yeah, so that started it, and then it just grew into ideas of wanting to do something else, because we were pretty much maxed out making, back in the early 90s, making about $15,000 on a golf tournament.
Which generally is what most people make
Okay.
Make all segments.
Yeah, that net. Was, you know, that was net. Yeah, that was net. And so we were looking to try to up our game and get to maybe the 25 mark. And so we started a concert called Rock for the Cops. And we've had some, you know, good big stars come play for us. Scotty McCrary, Maddie and Tay, Chris Lane, along with others that we've had. But it was just to name a few. Anyway, very successful. We made 25,000. We hit our goal of 25,000 the first year. And then we grew that concert up to where we were netting 60,000. But then we got to the point that we wanted to do an event that was six figures. And so we started researching, what can we do? And one of our PBA attorneys took me to a Ducks Unlimited banquet. Never had been. And I just sat back in my chair like this, and I was just amazed. I just kept looking around. I was like, wow, look at that. This is going on over here, and this is going on over here. Wow, over here, and I'm eating, and I got good food. And, of course, the alcohol was flowing, and everybody was, you know, I think they had an open bar, and but I was drinking my Cokes and watching everybody have fun, you know. And I said, this would be amazing if we could have an event like this, but instead of people that love ducks and hunting, how about do it with people that love cops?
Cops.
Yep. With cops and people that love cops. And so that's when it started spinning up here. And I was like, I've got to find an organization, a business that comes in and does this, because I knew to take it to that level, we could handle the golf tournament and we could handle the concerts. We had figured that out. But I knew that we weren't going to try to navigate these waters of doing such a big event that we were thinking about doing on our own. And so I looked for a lot of different companies. And, you know, with that cop mind of mine, you know, I'd have my list and I'd look down and I'd be like, oh, well, you know, this one doesn't work. This one doesn't work, blah, 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 blah. One of the things, because I've been an avid baseball collector for years, and I was like, you know, I know sports memorabilia, that really, any kind of, you know, signed memorabilia sells good. And being in that as, you know, a collector for so many years, I also know that if you're going to do that, do not have anything that's authenticated by ABC Authentication Company or Patrick.
Let me hear that again, because a lot of the charities out there don't want to, they all want to get caught up in the glitz and the glamour of a Bon Jovi and a Rolling Stones autographed guitar that's authenticated by Joe Shit the Ragman, Pat.
Yeah.
There's one company out there that you know for a fact that takes advantage of charities all day and all night. And all they have is fake stuff. All they have, and they created because they got so much hell from me over the years. You know all about this. They're up in New Jersey, Fort Lee, in fact, that they have all these autographed guitars signed by the Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, the Eagles, all this other stuff, all this shit that doesn't. Listen, Michael Jordan autographed jerseys framed for $1,500. When that's a $15,000 to $25,000 jersey all day.
Here, let me go ahead and sign Michael Jordan for you right here.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll put that up. There you go. We're going to put that up.
That's MJ right there. I'm telling you, I know better. I know better. And that was one of the things that kept me marking out people. Let me show you something. Hold on.
See, you could see those baseballs behind him. See them all stacked up behind him? He had one room where it was nothing but baseballs stacked, all of them authenticated. So I talk to him all the time about that company, the charity fundraising, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, charity fundraising company out of Fort Lee, New Jersey, and how they defraud you guys all the time. So,
absolutely. So here's the thing about it. Do you see this baseball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
This baseball is signed by no other than
Morgan Wallen.
Morgan Wallen. probably the biggest thing in music right now. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
He signed it for me, standing right there with me backstage at his concert. Okay? You know what it's worth? The price of the baseball. It's the price of the baseball because it does not have a certificate of authenticity on it. Now, I could get on my computer right here and I could type up certificate of authenticity, Patrick Cullinan, saw him sign, you know, sign it, blah, 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 blah. It's worthless. It's worth the paper that it was written on.
Pat, most charities out, I told you this. They said, well, it comes with a certificate of authenticity. I said it, but it's counterfeit. The counterfeiter is going to make a counterfeit certificate of authenticity. Means nothing.
So I say all that, and I know that you know this, and I'm preaching to the choir, but I plan on sending this to one of three places that I trust.
Can I name them?
Sure.
JSA.
JSA. I have lots of JSA authenticated items.
Yep. PSA DNA.
Yep.
Otherwise known as just PSA. Or Beckett.
Or Beckett, correct. That's the only three that are in any of my collections.
Authentic authenticators.
That's exactly right. And so, I'll show you something else while we're talking about authentication.
So earlier he was talking about the event that we did. So long story short, me and my company and all of our whole team went down there. And it was this event. It's the 2019. In fact, when I just came back, was down in Georgia, Pat gave me this. He forgot to give it to me. Yes, it says Founded Charity Foundation, however. There was a slight typo, but we had the 2019 Brothers in Blue Bash in Augusta. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible event. And I'm really excited to be going back there. Hey, I know that one.
So I love this. I bought this at one of your events in the silent auction because Tombstone is my favorite movie. And of course, Val Kilmer is playing Doc Holliday, and it's signed. It is signed by Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never bought this unless I saw
Beckett.
That right there.
Yep, Beckett.
I can go to Beckett's website. I can put in that number, and I can tell you exactly when Val Kilmer signed this.
And where.
And where, absolutely.
Yep. Where and when. Now, what they're doing... Because they're getting away from the cards, because everybody's so used to having a card, you know this, that right. they're getting away from the cards because everybody loses the cards, including me, right? We lose the cards because stuff's moving around. Sometimes you lose the cards. So they have completely gotten away from the cards, as you know now. Now they're going to a QR code. So you can scan the QR code with your phone, and it goes right to the website. You do a little test to make sure you're human. Goes right to the website and it'll tell you the exact same thing. So they're not even doing the cards anymore.
That's right. And I love that they're doing the QR codes.
Yep.
But no, so I don't fool with anything that's not authenticated. And I'm not going to have an event with anything except authenticated items from one of the three, JSA, PSA, or Beckett, or laser engraved, which, you know, that was another thing. I'm fine with laser engraved autographs. Of course, I know that
you say they're laser engraved.
Right. I know because, like, for instance, I would love to have a picture of Wyatt Earp, hint, hint, George, with your excellent, you know, framing skills with your framing company, Iconics. I would love to have a picture to go with my Val Kilmer of Wyatt Earp. But
real wider.
Right. But here's the thing about it. I can't get a Wyatt Earp autograph.
But can't you get a Wyatt Earp autograph at that place out in Vegas though?
Oh yeah, that's right. I can get one in Vegas. That's right. That's right. With a letter of authenticity from Las Vegas authenticators. But I do know that I could call my friend George Wooden at Iconics and say, could you put a laser engraved autograph below his picture, and it would look exactly like his autograph looked, or his signature looked, because I don't think Wyatt Earp was autographing things, but
I don't think he was.
he did have official documents that he signed as a marshal. And, you know, it would be cool to have something like that. But I know that. So anyway, that's the two things I would do with autographs: laser engraved or authenticated by PSA. So
that's what you were looking for when you found us, is that you knew that we were dealing with only authentic autographed items.
Right.
So, okay. So you with all, because we had a great event. We know we had a great event, everything else. It was fantastic. 800 and some people. But so here's what I want to do, because like I told you before, there are other fundraising podcasts out there who love to talk to United Way, these big established charities that have these monster employee teams and all that. And, you know, they've been doing this for years and they love to talk to established people. But me, with BW Unlimited and what we do, we deal with folks like you and your team, you and your folks, and startups, mainly startups or midway that charities that are just floating by, aren't making a lot of money, but they want to really turn it up. So Let me ask you, in your opinion, what is the hardest part about fundraising on your own? When you're doing a DIY thing, fundraising on your own, what do you think is the hardest part?
I don't have to think. I know.
What is it?
The hardest thing is finding the right people to help you. That's the hardest thing. If you're going to try to do something and you think you know, because I know a lot of people.
Yes,
but just because I know a lot of people doesn't mean that I'm going to have, you know, hundreds of people that are really going to get involved. And listen, let's just be real. I'm just going to tell you, I've got friends, tons of friends that have said, man, if you ever do anything, let me know. I want to be a part of it. I want to help. But when it comes time for the rubber to hit the road, oh man, I'd love to come to that committee meeting, but I can't. I'd love to be able to go, you know, try to find your potential sponsors, but right now, you know, I can't, or I don't know how to do this, or it's all kinds of excuses. That's right. Been the hardest part for me. But by learning the right people to pick, and it's not about the quantity like I originally thought, oh, I got to have 50 committee members.
Right.
It's about the quality of them. I'd rather have four quarters than 100 pennies.
Man, I've seen you. In fact, we just got off the phone before we started doing this, didn't we?
Yeah.
I have seen you with a team, like literally lop people's heads off. People you were friends with.
Yeah,
and you weren't shy about telling them why they were off the team.
Yeah, I had one when we did the Brothers in Blue Bash in 2019, and I love this person to death and still a great friend of mine. Wanted to be on the team. Well, after about 4 weeks on the team and not being able to come to any meetings that we had and not updating us on the committee Facebook group of anything that they had brought to the table, I deleted them from the group because I just figured they had abandoned us. You know, we hadn't heard anything, any updates. And so this person called me and said, hey, I was just looking for the group page and I can't find it. Did y'all do away with it? And I told him, I said, no, I've taken you off the team. And they said, well, why? And I was just, you know, straight up with them. And I said, they said, well, I really want to help. And I said, but you're not helping any. I said, as a matter of fact, you're not even liking any of the posts that we put in the thing. You're not even doing that.
A simple like or a comment.
So, but it was the best thing that could happen because this person was like, it rattled them a little bit and they're like, oh my goodness. And they ended up being one of our aces in the hole for the rest of the time.
One of them was on the phone with us.
Yeah. And that's not even the one I was talking about.
I know it's not, but that's one of the ones that was on the phone with us talking about it. Take my glasses back off because I'm getting bounced back from the screen. But the team absolutely positively managing the team. And you didn't, you had the guts that a lot of people don't have to tell people, no, you're off.
Right.
I've had plenty of clients who have gone out and have recruited people to be on their fundraising team and just couldn't get it done. right? They would have 50 people in the team and the team wasn't doing anything. And legitimately, I would go right back to them and say, well, let me tell you about what Pat Collin did, or let me tell you about what Charlie Jones, you know, what Charlie Jones did, you know, especially what you did, you got to kick them off. I mean, I've screamed, yelled at people and said, you know, cut their throat, get them off. Cause you're going to spend, correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to spend more time and more emotions, energy and emotions, getting the people who aren't going to do anything to do something. Yeah. You're going to waste your time.
Yeah. 100%.
So with that said, earlier today, something happened and I wanted to tell you this earlier, but I thought I'd hold it for this. I am finding more people spend more time giving excuses. And this is something we talk about privately, excuses for failure. They'll come up with more excuses why they're not going to be successful. More excuses why they're not going to be able to get it done. And they'll accept far less, but then point at people who are successful, doing something successful, right? Mm-hmm. And that's being an entrepreneur, a business owner, or even being a charity fundraiser, right? I ran into someone earlier who I said, listen, I'm talking about you guys. They got a big team and this is what they're doing. It's going to be a major event, over 1,000 people. And it was somebody who was doing almost in the same genre as your event that's going to happen in May. We'll talk about that in a minute. But are any advice on what charities should do instead of finding excuses, and what should they do?
Well, so here's the thing about it. I'm a cop. I'm a career cop. I can give you, I do. So since I've been with the PBA, well, first of all, I spent the majority of my career working canine. I can tell you how to work a canine. I can teach you how to work a canine. I can talk canine all day long. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to say that I could qualify as an expert in the field. I am not an expert at fundraising. I do not like to fail. Have I ever failed? Absolutely, I have failed, but I don't like to fail at anything that I do. Therefore, if I task myself with something or somebody else tasks me with something, then I am not going to look for excuses of why I can't do it or how I'm going to fail or what happened to somebody else. I'm going to get into the solution and I'm going to work to make it happen. Now, you know, the big thing is I got to trust somebody and I got to follow their advice. So, for instance, going on with the Brothers in Blue Bash, we wanted to step up our game. When we started working with you, and by the way, I vetted you, and I know you know this, but for everybody that's listening, I vetted you like a cop should vet somebody.
Good.
And there was no red flags, none. And so when I finished vetting you, it was a weekend.
I want to stop you. Before he knew me, before we even talked.
Never talked to
you. We know each other like the back of our hands now. But this is before he even knew me, before we even talked.
That's right. And so it was a weekend, and I was sitting in my office after hours. Matter of fact, it must have been 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And I got on the computer. And I hit contact us, I think, on your website and typed in an email and said, I would like to talk to y'all about, you know, what y'all have to offer, yada, yada, yada. And within 10 or 15 minutes, it was probably less than 10 minutes. It was a short amount of time. My email went off and it was a response. And it just said from George Wooden, you know, we could, because I specifically put in there, it's the weekend, you know, if you could call me first of the week sometime. And you said, I'm available to talk before the first of the week if you would like to. And I said, no, I don't want to bother you. I responded back, no, I don't want to bother you on the weekend, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, no problem, you know, but I can talk. And I was like, okay. So I think I said, well, if you want to talk now, I'm available.
I remember where I was. I was sitting in a parking lot in front of a Buffalo Wild Wings.
And you called me. And I was like, really, is the owner of the company really calling me? And of course, now, as you know, my wife and I being business owners, I can appreciate that because, you know, we, if you want to have a successful business, that's the things that you do. As a matter of fact, there is a very, very large company that I deal with our hat business. Very large, larger than your business and larger than my business. And I got a call yesterday from the owner of the company. And he said, I just want to thank you and your business for using us and trusting in us. The owner of the company. And it's amazing. I mean, this is a business that employs thousands of people, okay?
It's amazing.
But that's why he's successful.
Yep.
That's why he's successful.
Yep.
But anyway, going back to that, you know, we started talking, and from that point on, when I knew that I felt good about, you know, we could possibly be using you and your company, I was like, this is somebody that we will trust, you know, trust and listen to. Mm-hmm. And why were we so successful? Because we followed the playbook. We followed the playbook. It's like you said, okay, here's the playbook. If you want to have a successful event and hit six figures, you've got to do this, 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 and this. So we came to one of your events in Maryland, the Road Dogg Rumble. A group of us flew up from Georgia. All cops flew up there, and we were blown away. Matter of fact, we had no intentions of buying anything at this event. We flew up with a book bag, with a change of clothes, and we're flying back the next day. We ended up sucked into all the fun and the excitement that I ordered. I mean, I won so much stuff between raffles, silent auction, and live auction that you and your company had to send several boxes
shipping
to me.
We had to ship a lot of stuff back.
And not only me, but the other three guys that were with me all had boxes shipped to them too.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. But it's all about, again, following the playbook, man. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, if you want to know, have you ever done anything with designing and making hats?
Hell no.
So do you want to go out there and
that's why you made me mine.
Right. And so if you're going to get on a sewing machine, are you going to try to figure it out on your own and screw up and sew through your hands? Or are you going to come to me and Sandra and say, hey, I want to sit down and I want you to teach me how to do this. Now, if you sit down with us behind a sewing machine or embroidery machine and you say, well, I think it should be done this way. Good luck. Good luck. Our success was we got out of our own ways and we said, if this is what is said needs to be done, this is what we're going to do.
You would not believe how many of my clients, how many of our clients don't do that. Well, you know, you already know because I call you bitching and complaining
about it. Well, if they do, listen, if they do, I'll be the first as a client. And y'all, George Wooden has never paid me one penny. Gosh, you should, as much as I talk good about you.
No kidding.
Now, in full disclosure, because I am a man of integrity and honesty, he has bought me a steak. But he has bought, and barbecue. Steak and barbecue.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even feed me real barbecue. He made me eat mutton. Barbecue mutton. But, with that said, if you want to do it your way, you're going to get your results,
right.
Period. You know, and there's a reason why we've had you not only do that, we've had you do events for us at Top Golf. We've had you do concerts for us.
Not the concert itself.
We know how to do, you know, we do the concerts, but we wanted to step up our concert game because it used to be that we only did concerts, but we did nothing of live auctions or silent auctions at the concert. So we've brought you in to do those and bring that component to our concerts, which just skyrocketed the amount of money that we were making. Same thing with the Top Golf event, skyrocketed it.
And introduced me to a lot of other charities. Now, this is just so you're aware, this isn't going to post. I'm not going to put this up until after you post that other video.
Yeah. Okay.
So let me hear about, I already know about it, but I want you to tell them. Tell them about May 3rd. What's happening on May 3rd?
So May the 3rd in Augusta, a group of law enforcement officers have come together and decided to help another foundation in law enforcement, because backing up with me and my role with the PBA, we do have a charitable arm of the PBA called the Police Benevolent Foundation. That's our 501c3. And our primary purpose is to take care of the beneficiary, the survivors of fallen officers. So if one of our members dies in the line of duty, then we have a death benefit for the spouse, and we have scholarships for children, and we provide disaster relief, and we do a lot of PTSD and suicide prevention training around the Southeast. Anyway, that's what the foundation for us does, and that's what we were raising the money for with the Brothers in Blue Bash. Well, there is another organization that helps law enforcement officers in Georgia named Christians Touch. I encourage anyone that watches this to look up Christians Touch. Amazing, amazing family that started this. Amazing story about Christian. And they are doing amazing things in honor and memory of Christian, who passed away in, I think 2000 or around there. And just helping not only a lot of men and women in law enforcement, but their spouses and their children.
Families, yep.
Yep. And they're doing a lot of things where you can't find a foundation that is doing this. So, right. For instance, you have a law enforcement officer and their spouse and children who have an air conditioner that has gone out and it's 100 degrees in Georgia and they need their air conditioner repaired. Before I found Christian's Touch, there wouldn't have been anybody that, you know, would fall in their bylaws to do that. But, you know, that's one of the things that I know that they've done, you know, in the past. So anyway, amongst a lot of other things, getting a lot of men and women whose departments won't fund them going to life-saving post-critical incident seminars, they will make sure that they get there, that they have their hotel room paid for, you know, if their food needs to be paid for. They've done this for countless people. So I say all that to say this, a group of men and women in law enforcement came together, decided that they would like to do something to raise money for Christians Touch. And the first thing that was brought up was, we've got to get George Wooden back to Augusta, and we've got to do another big event. And it is Christian's Thin Blue Line Gala. Is it gala or gala?
Either way. Gala, gala.
I say what do gala. You hear most? I say gala. Well,
I say gala, but I also say pecan.
Well, that's for another podcast. But for anybody listening, it is pecan. Would you call it your trash can or your trash con?
Right. So I say gala. I say gala because it's from the north. I'm a Yankee.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so, David James called it a gala, and he just lives one county over. So
speaking of David James, David James is heading that up, right? He's the guy. He's the head guy.
Yes. So David is the one that he's like our go-to person with Christian's Touch. Mm-hmm. And anybody can contact him, but he's like our point of contact amongst our law enforcement men and women around here. David James. And so he was the one that was like really brought this to the rest of us and said,
David's got a hell of a story too. Getting shot in the head, blinded.
We need to have him on a podcast.
Absolutely, I will.
And so he brought this to the table, and he's the one that said, we need to do this and we need to get George. And so we're excited about it. It's May 3rd in Augusta. It's going to be at the downtown Riverfront Marriott. And it's going to be huge.
Huge.
It's not going to be big.
It's going to be huge. 1,000 people at least.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whole place surrounded with
blue
with
lights, everything, man.
And so far, we haven't even done anything because, believe it or not, Pat's getting ready to do a video. Your launch? Are you putting that up tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
To announce this event, right? We haven't done anything, and so far, we've raised $20,000.
Yeah,
right.
And hadn't even put it out publicly.
Haven't even put it out publicly. $2,500 from our ticket sponsor, right?
Yep.
Who is the ticket sponsor?
Case
from Michelle Thomas. She got Case. Mm-hmm. And then Sean Mizell, I'm probably saying it wrong, Sean, from Alkalite Ladders, right? Mm-hmm. She just did a gold sponsor, $7,500, right? And then we got a $10,000 sponsor, platinum sponsor by who, Pat?
Attorney Pierce Blitch.
Pierce Blitch. So yep. We haven't even done anything. We've already got $20,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
Right. So it's going to be phenomenal. May 3rd at the Augusta Marriott. Everybody's welcome. The tickets will be on sale. Pat will be taking a reserve list, right, Pat? You're taking a reserve list.
Well, no. David James will be taking the list, but I'll be posting it on my Facebook and others will as well. Right. But David will be keeping up with the list.
David will be taking a reserve list. Right now we're centered on sponsors. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. It's going to be a bar for 2 hours, a huge buffet, absolutely incredible event. Patrick,
let me stop and say something real quick.
Huh?
When, you know, we learned a lot of things from following your playbook. But one of the things that really I was thinking about when we had our committee meeting for this new event the other night, I was really thinking about some of the things that really packed a punch, besides what you normally think, like how much money you raised. Of course, that packed a punch because we far exceeded our goals in six figures. But we followed your playbook of how to market this thing and who to reach out to. And we had people from 12 states, and it ended up becoming an international event because we had Irish Angel, Amanda, come from Dublin, Ireland. And I would have never thought that. I think we had several tables from our friends from Texas law enforcement officers fly in, Washington State, New York State.
Troopers from Maryland.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, one drove his motorcycle all the way down.
And he's driving his motorcycle down to this event.
I know. I saw that. And so I know we had Alabama represented there, Mississippi, Arkansas, Texas. Anyway, 12 states and Dublin, Ireland. That is a direct result of following the playbook. Did you lose me?
Yeah. I heard you say 12 states and...
12 states and Dublin, Ireland. And I said that's a direct result of following the playbook.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, probably had a little internet interference because we've got another blizzard coming to Georgia. I think we're getting 2 inches next week.
2 inches? Oh, my God.
2 inches.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry.
Did you get the
– I've got plenty of bread. I've got plenty of bread, plenty of milk, and plenty of eggs. So lots of French toast if anybody needs any.
That's a lot of snow, Pat, 2 inches. But when I'm walking across, out of my office, I'm going to be walking across through about 6-8 inches, and we're supposed to get another 8 this weekend. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, I'm putting snows on. I mean, chains on my truck.
Yeah, when your truck, put the snow tires on.
Yeah,
Patrick, have fun, man. I appreciate you. You know me. I love you to death.
Thank you. Love you too, brother.
So, in closing, What's the website for the Georgia Hat Company?
GAHATCO, GAHATCO.com or GeorgiaHatCompany.com. Either one.
Or just search it out, Georgia Hat Company. Pat, I appreciate you, my brother. Have a good night. Tell Mom I said hi.
And I sure will.
I'll talk to you later.
You do the same. Thank you, brother.
All right, my friend.
All right, bye.